Chapter 8. Ricky was fidgety. He wasn't used to sitting around while others worked. "I saw Clarence last night," he said. "What's he have to say?" "Nothing. He's going to add a rumpus room onto the house this summer. He asked if I could work on it, but I told him that I was already working for Wilson Ryder. I told him you were looking for a job, but he didn't say anything." "You don't have to do me any favors, Ricky," I said. "I don't need Clarence's charity or yours." "You need something," Ricky declared. He wanted me to take up the bait and fight or make a joke out of it or anything, but I just stuck out my lower lip and shrugged. I didn't have the energy for that kind of talk right then. I focused my attention on Narcissus. She was writing down notes on slips of yellow paper, which she attached to different pieces. She also made entries in a small spiral pad she had. "Hey, Charles," Ricky said.
"Hey, what?"
"Could I use your phone? Local or long distance?"
"I want to call Bethany. She said that..."
"Okay," I said, cutting him off. "Make your call." Ricky gave me a sullen look and then went into the kitchen to use the ancient prince's phone in there. I heard him say Bethany's name, and then I returned my attention to Narcissus. She seemed extremely confident. Now and then she'd take some reference book or another from her shoulder satchel to prove or disprove some point she was making to herself. She would write more notes and then move on to the next object. In the meanwhile, Ricky was laughing and chattering on the phone in the other room. I was having a fine time in the chilly window seat, watching the earth-tone woman judge my lineage. The moon shone on her, glaring over my shoulder.
"Are you hungry?"
I asked Narcissus after it was completely dark outside.
"I'd like something after I'm done here," she said.
"We could go over to Donnelly's in Southampton," I offered, and immediately I was sorry. I didn't have a single paper dollar to my name. I probably didn't have enough in change to cover a dinner.